I am excited about being here today and thrilled to see all the women. And it's such a joy, as I said last night, to see how many women, 40 or more. Can you not hear me? Okay, turn me up, because I can't turn me up. To see 40 or more women here as opposed to the 5 or 6 that we've had in prior leadership meetings. And as we were talking about and planning this day, one of the desires was that we would invite all women, not just some women, but all the women, the wives of the men who were here, plus many single women that we could invite. So we were very encouraged to see those of you who did come, and I know because of the shortness of the time between the invitation and this meeting, that kept some people from coming because of prior commitments. But I'm grateful to you. I know it was not easy for you to leave everything. It wasn't not easy to prepare everything that you needed to prepare to come. And to just give the time away from your family is always a choice that we have to make. So I really do appreciate that. Dave Haas asked me this morning to do a little bit of give you a picture of what Navigator Women's Ministries is, because many of you don't know who we are, don't know what we do, and we've been doing it now for about 19, 20 months, but we haven't had opportunity to explain very much to you what it is we do want to do and desire to do. Somebody said last night that partnering is not in the dictionary, it's not a valid word. Well, my computer recognizes partnering, but it doesn't recognize discipleship. So that's a problem for us. Both of those things are areas that we're very committed to. So I wanted to show you a little bit about who we are. This is our new logo that Peggy Reynoso has developed for us. And we're very excited to have Peggy partnering with us long distance. And she's helping us bring into focus what it is we're trying to communicate. This is our mission: to encourage, edify, and equip Navigator staff and lay women in life, ministry, and partnership, enabling them to know Christ and to make Him known woman to woman, or life to life, and generation to generation. That's what we're committed to as women, and in this ministry, that's what we're committed to. The first part that we talked about was the ministry of encouragement. We do that many ways. Some of the ways we do that are that we have a hotline for prayer requests. I think almost every day I have 3 or 4 at least prayer requests on email. And they're private. They come only to my house. And only our team pray for them. The Windows newsletter goes out to all our staff, including the business entities, public entities, overseas staff, and it also goes to probably 50 to 60 laywomen who have requested it. So we're very encouraged with that, and it also has encouraged women to send us their stories of their life and their ministry so we can put them in to the windows to be read by other women, and that brings connection and link between the women across the U.S. And then personal prayer ministry, we're committed to praying for those people who do ask us to pray. And for all of you, we really have a burden for women across the U.S. to bring them before the Lord concerning their needs. And then email encouragement. We've spent time on email talking to women about everything. Their children, their ministry, their lives, their questions about biblical issues, their questions about what it means to partner, their questions about Bible doctrines that they don't understand. So it's been exciting for them to have a place and a person to come to do that. The ministry of equipping for us includes teaching and encouraging family ministry skills and balance. Today we're not going to talk a whole lot about children. For me, children are a given. In the lives of Navigator women, they're a given. And we know that we give our lives to them, and we know that they're our priorities. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you much about how to partner in that relationship. But I want you to understand how strong I am in that area. In fact, we own AT&T because of the amount of time that we spend talking to our daughters on the phone. And they're adults with children of their own. So many things are happening in that area. Leadership development forums, we've had one of these locally, and we'll have another one this coming September. It's where we bring women in. Our first, we brought women in from each entity and trying to encourage them in their development within that entity and also encourage them in our mission, vision, and values. It's exciting to see them link together and find out how much they have in common and how much they differ in the way they have to make application in ministry. Our goal is to always serve alongside entities. We are not an entity. We do not want to be an entity. We want to serve alongside each entity and help it connect, help them connect with one another and link with one another and learn to serve one another. In the Metro meeting last night, that was the number one problem, was how to do that. Well, I think women can play a big part in that. If we learn to work together within the different entities, then I think God will use it to a large degree through the women, through their influence. Train and develop women in leadership, enabling their full involvement in the disciple-making process. That's why you're here. That's why you're invited to this leadership meeting, to enable us to do that process. And we also will do it in some other areas. To build up, as Alan has called it, oaks of righteousness, to take those women, even within our ministries, who need to be helped in that area, maybe young in their faith, young in their ministry development, help them. Also to promote the Navigator vision, to make sure we know who we are and what it is God has called us to do as navigators, to make sure that women own that vision as well as men. To promote that, as I've said, woman to woman, generation to generation, life to life. And then the last area, next to last, is the ministry of edification. I said we encourage, we edify, and we equip. We have traveling development teams where we will go into areas, hopefully combining several entities together, and present seminars or do whatever you ask us to do when we come into your area. We also have contact with some lay women who want us to come do that with some lay women they're working with. Several of these areas are in process, and that one has not happened yet out there, although we're in contact with several people. The mentoring program is in process. The Navigator-flavored Bible studies, which means studies that have distinctive Navigator flavor to them, are going on in the Springs now, and other women have contacted us as to what that means. And how do you do that in another area? National Conference, we've scheduled a conference for the year 2001. And it'll be our first, I think, National Women's Conference since WIN Ministries had one. I think it was in 87, I believe in 87. But that was the first national one we had had in a long time, and this will be our first one. Lasting Treasures is a series of audiovisual tapes that we have done. I think we've done four or five of those at this point. They'll be available in video and audio for you to use with the women you're ministering to. We actually gave out one of Jean Fleming that she recently did for us to the President's Conference women during our luncheon. Very well received, and we've had other women wanting that same video since they heard that they are going to be available. That's in process of being finished. And their goal is to share essentials as they see it from the navigator perspective. And then the last one is the emphasis on partnering. And that's what we're doing today. We're emphasizing partnering. We want to model partnership between men and women in life and ministry, not just husband and wife, but men and women across the board, to teach partnership in all areas, between entities, between cultures, with other organizations, and with the local church. We've had several requests already. What do you mean by partnering? How can we do that? Can you come help us understand what that means and how to implement that in our ministries and in our lives? And then to create and encourage opportunities for partnership. Since we started this ministry, many women have had opportunities to use their gifts in ways within the Navigate organization that they never have before. Usually we have had to go out to use our skills if they're teaching. Sometimes we can use gifts of leadership and service, but often they're not recognized within the navigators. They're just expected. And so we're giving women opportunities, women who said, I can't write, but I have a story. So they'll write in their own words, their story, and then some of us will make it so that we can put it in the windows. And they feel like they've been able to make a contribution, which is going across the nation in ways that they never would have had opportunity before. So we're real excited about what God is doing in that. So that's why we're here today, is to talk about that last area. And I want to first of all show you this and read it. Bob's not the only one who can do cartoons. This is Luann, and it's, look, honey, here's a little ornament you brought me 17 years ago at the Christmas Light Show. They're decorating the Christmas tree. And she says, oh, look at this. Remember? Second honeymoon, Hawaii, 1988. Oh, and here's the ornament your great-grandmother gave you. And, oh, look, Luann made this first snowman in first grade. And here's a little wood Santa that Brad carved in Scouts. You know, this is what decorating Christmas tree is all about. Memories. And her husband on the other side has finished the tree, and he says, done. Wow, 4 minutes flat. Okay, the question that we have to ask, after we see a cartoon like that is that partnering? Well, I would say it's partnering. They're working towards the same objective. One will get there faster than the other, but one will probably look better than the other when they're through. But their objective is the same. They are working together. Partnering often looks like that. When men and women partner together, it often appears like one gets the job done much faster than the other and much more efficiently. And the other often looks like they're just kind of wasting time, doing a lot of talking about unnecessary things. But they do both get the job done, especially when they work together. Had she not been on one side of the tree, it would have looked a little lopsided. A few years ago, we were doing roundtables around the country, and we gave a luncheon for the women during that time. God began to, during that time, put on our hearts the whole area of partnering. As we traveled with our husbands around the country, and begin to band together as a group of women and men ministering to our staff, it grew and grew. And I think God used the influence of that partnership as we did that to impact the lives of our staff, to see women involved with the men in partnership. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. One of the verses we often used as a theme was from Philippians 1, 3, and 4. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The NIV Bible uses the word partnership. King James uses fellowship. Often they're used interchangeably in Scripture. Today we want to focus on this area and what it can mean to us in the ministry of the Navigators. What it has to do with leadership. It's not a new concept. It's been called many other things. It's been called co-laboring. It's been central to the Navigators since the inception of our ministry. Dawson Trotman co-labored with many organizations and many people. Many men and women have studied and taught and experienced, lived out these concepts to a greater extent than we will. I think of one, Jody Baker, who is now probably watching us rejoicing as we come together and study this same issue together. They are the people whom I think of when I read the words, I thank my God every time I think about you. Because they plowed some ground for us. They fought some battles for us that we don't have to fight. And they gave us a platform that they perhaps didn't have when they were here. And so we do thank God every time we think about those that have gone before us to prepare the road on partnership and co-laboring together. There are several guidelines by which we offer this subject to you today. First, I want to offer partnership or fellowship or co-laboring to you as a grace. A grace of God given to God, given by God to the body through the power of His Spirit. Partnership cannot be mandated. It cannot be demanded. It cannot be organized. It cannot even be earned by us. It is something that God has given us by His Spirit to be a part of His body. It's a grace that we choose to implement towards one another. Second, we're not saying by this emphasis today on partnership that none of us are partnering. We are. We partner in many ways. With each other, with men and women, with other organizations, with those who support us, with our churches, with many, many people, we partner all the time. But we all need to learn and interact more on how to better represent Christ through our partnership. The thing that I struggle with in partnership is it doesn't stay the same. You know, I think I get a good handle on it as far as to how I'm respond, and then it changes. Or somebody else changes, or God changes me, or another person, and then what I thought worked no longer works. So it is a growing, dynamic area of our lives that looks different on everyone and should look different the further along we grow in our maturity. If it looks the same as it did 20 years ago, there's something wrong probably. It means we're not growing and changing. In a few minutes, I want to lay out some things that we'll be doing today. I'm going to be introducing Peggy Reynoso. I wanted to read a little quote from Chuck Swindoll on this area. He says, Cynthia once told me, you know, honey, it's not right to tell people we're partners. you don't let me enter into your ministry. You don't share it with me. Now that cut me like a knife, but Cynthia always tells me the truth. She had the goods on me. Truth is what set me free. And today I think Chuck and his wife would say that they do partner in a way that they never did before. Each honoring the other's gifts and each allowing each to be involved in what God has called them to do, but partnering at the same time because they've made some decisions to do so. Peggy Reynoso is going to speak to us first this morning, if I could find her bio, which I can't, so I'll have to ad-lib it. I know her. Peggy and Paul represent the Hispanic ministry. Peggy has been involved in going back to school. Paul had cancer a few years ago, now is cancer-free, which we're very grateful for. Yesterday she won the little towel, but she didn't tell you all of the story. Paul's sister had died 2 days ago. And so the partnering they did to come to this was that she would come here and he would go to the funeral. And that partnership meant separation. But Peggy is a gifted woman, and she'll be talking to us this morning on the whole area of communication and what that has to do with partnering specific to the Navigators. And then after our coffee break, when Peggy gets done, you need to hurry back. And we're going to be saying that all day long, but we're going to show you a film clip right after coffee break, and we don't want you to miss it. Because it's another way of illustrating partnership and some of the issues that can surface when we try to partner together as men and women. The video clips have been put together for us by Lonnie Stevens. In fact, this whole day is a partnership between many, many men and women, for which we're very grateful for the prayer and the time. You have people praying for you today all over the country. Other organizations are praying for this time today. We're very grateful for that. So Lonnie has put together these video clips. They're to highlight some of the issues that might surface. We're not endorsing any of the movies that you see, although we could. It's just another way to focus on the issue. We're not endorsing either of the actions of either of the genders. It's just for you to learn from what they're doing. And then when we come back, Sutel is going to be sharing with us some of her thoughts on partnering. And then we'll move from that right into case studies. And you'll stay right where you are in your groups, and you have in your notebooks some case studies, which we'll be discussing at our tables. These studies attempt to look at real-life situations that can arise within the Navigator ministry as we try to practice partnership. Again, let me say, there's no desire to point fingers at anyone. It's only to talk about some real-life issues that probably all of us have observed as we've ministered through the years. Partnership is a three-way street. It's you, the other person, and God. And we're all required to give 100% to one another and to Him. That's the only way it'll work. Then after lunch, we'll be treated to another quick video that we'll see. And then we have some very famous navigators who are going to be up front here sharing a short testimony on some struggles, victories, defeats that they've had in their partnering. They'll share a few minutes with you individually, and then we're going to open the time up for questions. Be thinking as we go through the day and write down any questions that occur to you, either through our time and interaction or through people sharing, so that you can ask those questions of the panel and any of us during that time, because we do want to have this open time of interaction. And Helene Ashker is going to be helping us with that session, so she'll be up here. The last session of the day will be two. One will be the Bible study that we've been doing on partnering that hopefully you've finished. My husband had to partner with me this morning because I left the Bible study at home. So he had to go back and get it and bring it to me. Let me say one thing about the Bible study, and I'll illustrate it by telling you a short story. When we were in the collegiate ministry, one of the things that we really wanted to do was open up this whole gender thing. And so we were looking for ways to involve men and women together, and all these were single men and women at that point in time. And so we were each doing a Roman study. I was leading the study with the women, and my husband was leading the study with the men. It was a very, very important study for both groups because God was doing some deep things in the area of developing our convictions from Romans. One time we decided to bring the men and women together just to see how that would work. Well, it was a disaster. The reason it was a disaster is because the men's approach to the study, they would just hammer each other on convictions. And some of you men know what I'm talking about. They were trying to convince the other person, but in doing so, they weren't real kind or gentle or quiet in doing that. Well, we had the same deep convictions developing in our study, but our approach to the study and to one another as women was completely different. We challenged each other, but we did it nice. Well, as a result of getting the men and women together in that study, then we came away with several things. One, the men thought, well, the women don't have any real strong convictions. They don't really believe things the way that we do. They're not serious about what they're doing. They don't know how to express their convictions if they do have them. The women came away feeling, well, the men don't understand a thing about what life has to do with the Bible. How can they get so angry with each other and still believe what Romans 8 says? So we had this misunderstanding, this lack of partnership because of the approaches of the two genders. Now, the point I'd like to make on that is the Bible study that you did on partnering, a couple of questions were supposed to be thought or feeling questions, and you could not find what we were asking you to find in the text without using thought or feeling to get those answers, because it wasn't in there specifically. A woman generally approaches the scripture that way. I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying we both need to approach the scripture to find truth. But I'm saying when Jesus came, he represented truth and life in a way that the Pharisees and those who spoke of the law were not able to do. So as men and women, we need to learn to look at scriptures with truth and life in focus. Never to take license with the scriptures when you're preaching doctrine or teaching doctrine, but with those two things in view. And I believe somebody referred to that last night. Maybe it was Alan. But those two things, and so having said that, that'll help you understand a little bit of the way women sometimes approach the scriptures. We need to learn on both sides of that equation so we can complement the Word of God when it goes out to those people especially who haven't seen it and don't know what it says and can't understand it. They need to see truth and life.